Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Well, hello there and a very warm welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. Coming up today on the Feast of the Visitation, the second joyful mystery of the Rosary on a musical note. And the first episode of our radio drama entitled To the Ends of the Earth. Well, thanks so much for joining me once again. St. Peter's Square on the last Saturday in May is the venue for a celebration to mark the closing of this Marian month, an event which takes place when darkness closes in on the square, in the presence of Pope Benedict XVI, who will lead the recitation of the Rosary there. Monsignor Carol Castile, Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Human and Christian Development, Cor Unum, spoke to us ahead of this celebration.
The Holy Father also sets the example in what is called popular piety, which is really the piety of all the saints, since each of them had great love for our Blessed Lady. In the name of all humanity, she gave her consent to God's plan of healing and redemption. And the Pope knows that as Queen of the Apostles, Our Lady can give him the needed strength in his apostolic ministry. And the same goes for every priest and bishop. And that is why the clergy should always show their love towards Mary, our Heavenly Mother. Piety and love towards the Mother of God means imitating her virtues. After she received the announcement of the coming Redeemer, Mary immediately performed a great act of charity, the visitation of her cousin, St. Elizabeth, mother of St. John the Baptist. That is today's feast day. So we also should perform some special act of charity. Our papal department, Cor Unum, has as its special mission the promotion of the Catechesis of Charity, which His Holiness gives such a clear picture in his first encyclical, Deus Caritas Est. Today, the Church also remembers Mary's Immaculate Heart. And with the Pope, we all pray for a purification of our hearts in charity.
Well, our thanks there go to Monsignor Castile, the Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Human and Christian Development, Cor Unum. And as he's just pointed out, Saturday marks the Feast of the Visitation. That's why I've chosen to mark this occasion by bringing you a musical comment focusing on the second joyful mystery of the Rosary. For this, we join Monsignor Philip Whitmore.
Hearing the news the angel brought her, Mary went as quickly as she could to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Not only was the young virgin to give birth to a child, but so was her older cousin, who had been barren for years. With God, nothing is impossible. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, straight away she cried out, "Of all women, you are the most blessed, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." In reply, Mary poured out her feelings of joy and exultation in that glorious canticle, the Magnificat, which the Church uses in the office of evening prayer every day. That setting of the Magnificat comes from the famous Vespers of Our Lady, written by Claudio Monteverdi in the year 1610. I always think this music must be one of the finest job applications in history. In 1610, Monteverdi was getting itchy feet. He'd been working for the Duke of Mantua for about 20 years, and he was wanting to spread his wings a little further. There were jobs coming up in Rome at St. Peter's and in Venice at St. Mark's. So in 1610 he published two compositions in very different styles. There was a mass setting in the old contrapuntal style that he knew would go down well in Rome, and there was this wonderful Baroque Vespers in the Venetian style, using instruments and virtuoso solo parts and bright colours. 3 years later, he got the job in Venice and stayed there for the rest of his life. All through Monteverdi's setting of the Magnificat, you can hear the plain song melody, like a great pillar supporting an elaborate Baroque structure. That was typical of the way Catholic composers wrote liturgical music at this time. Monteverdi would have thought of his Magnificat as a vast variation on that simple plain song melody. So many wonderful Magnificat settings to choose from, we could even devote a whole series of programmes just to them. But there's one other I'd like to play for you, and that's the Festal Magnificat by Johann Sebastian Bach, written in Leipzig in the 1720s. Like Monteverdi's setting, it has a particularly joyful tone, with trumpets and drums, and this is because it was originally written to be sung at Christmas. Mary just had to tell someone the wonderful news she'd received. She told her cousin, and in the words of the Magnificat, she tells us. The Almighty looked upon her in her lowliness and did great things for her. History has proved Mary right. From that day, all generations have called her blessed, the Holy Virgin who was found worthy to become the mother of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
And heartfelt thanks there, as always, to Monsignor Philip Whitmore. Monsignor Whitmore is a music historian currently working as an official at the Vatican's Secretariat of State. Meanwhile, I'd like you to join me for the first episode of a radio drama by the title of To the Ends of the Earth. Written and presented by my colleague, Jill Bevilacqua, it was produced by Sean Patrick Lovett. Before we begin, a few words about what it is and why we are doing it. Well, one of the reasons, of course, is that we're about to begin a Pauline year, but also because in recent years, listeners have probably heard now and then references to the new evangelization, an expression first used by Pope John Paul II in Haiti back in 1983. So, well, what about the first evangelization? What do we know about it? Do we know about it? We know about Pentecost and the stoning of Stephen and the conversion of St. Paul on the road to Damascus, but what else? In church we hear extracts from the Acts of the Apostles and the letters of St. Paul. But how many of us have actually read these from cover to cover, so to speak? Some episodes and passages may be very familiar, and we may even be able to quote, quite happily, large chunks of Paul to the Corinthians or the Romans, but it's all rather haphazard and out of context. That's why Jill decided to take the Acts of the Apostles and Paul's letters and try to put them together, make a play. The story, because that's what it is recounted by Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. And where we quote Paul's letters, it's Paul who speaks, of course. Most of the characters in the drama are taken from the scriptures, and where we have their actual words, we use them. But Jill also invented some extra characters to help the story along, and incorporated one or two well-known legendary incidents that seemed to be valid and to have dramatic quality. As the series goes on, listeners may wonder now and then what has happened to a particular character who has disappeared from the story. Where possible, we've tried to fill the gap. But it has to be remembered that the Acts of the Apostles were written to record the spread of the gospel, not as a history of the lives of the individual apostles. The dates and places of their deaths and even where they preached is in many cases mostly conjecture. Well, as it's a Pauline year, a word about the journeys of St. Paul. We must remember that Paul preached and wrote his letters before the evangelists had written their gospels. He had no written word to consult or quote from, apart from the Old Testament. His knowledge of Christ's words and deeds came from St. Peter and others who had known and been with Jesus during his ministry. The title of our play, To the Ends of the Earth, is taken from the words of our Lord to the apostles just before he ascended into heaven. The ends of the earth, of course, must be understood in the context of the known world at the time under Roman domination. How does the story end? Well, at this point, I can only tell you that it ends on a positive note, looking forward. So do make yourselves comfortable and sit back and listen to the story of the first evangelization.
We present To the Ends of the Earth. The story opens in the upper room where the apostles and other disciples are awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit.
In my earlier work, Theophilus, I dealt with everything Jesus had done and taught from the beginning, until the day when he gave his instructions to the apostles he had chosen through the Holy Spirit and was taken up to heaven. He had shown himself alive to them after his passion by many demonstrations. For 40 days he continued to appear to them and tell them about the kingdom of God. When he was at table with them, he told them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for what the Father had promised. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he told them, and then you will be my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, but throughout Judea and Samaria, and indeed, to the ends of the earth.
And do you remember when he said, you are to go out into the whole world?
Yes, and preach the good news to every creature. What did he mean?
Just that. Go out and preach.
Yes, but how?
By following his example, I suppose. He was never in one place for long. It was as much as we could do to keep up with him.
That's true enough. But the master was the master. He had only to open his mouth, smile that smile. The people just came. But we...
They didn't only come for the smile, though.
Oh, you mean the healing of the sick? Oh, yes, there was that, too.
And what about the demons? Remember that time when he sent them into the pigs and they all went over the edge?
Oh, what's that?
It's me, John. We got the wine.
Come on in.
And some fruit.
Is anything happening?
No, all quiet. But there are some new faces around. People came for the festival. Where's Peter?
Upstairs. He's sleeping.
He was up all night talking with James and Andrew.
I'd like to hear what he thinks about this preaching.
What do you think, John? You were always the one to know what the Lord meant.
What's the problem?
We were wondering, what did the Master mean when he said, go out into the whole world?
Preach the good news to every creature.
And then he said, not only in Jerusalem, but throughout Judea and Samaria.
Samaria.
The Lord went to Samaria.
And there's another thing. What did he mean by saying, you will be my witnesses?
Well, John?
You're all worrying about nothing. The Lord didn't say we had to rush out just like that. He said we have to wait. We're not to leave Jerusalem, not till the Holy Spirit comes.
What is the Holy Spirit?
We'll know when he comes. And when he does, the Lord said we will receive power. Then we will be his witnesses.
Yes, now I remember. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils.
They shall speak with new tongues.
They shall take up serpents.
And if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Am I right?
Yes. And remember when the Master was going, he said, behold, I am always with you, even to the end of the world.
That's it.
You're right. So he did.
The supper's prepared. Mary's waiting, and Peter's ready to break the bread.
Let's go and give thanks.
Who is it? It's you, Cleopas.
Must be deputy.
You missed the election.
Yes, we have a new man, Matthias. You must know him. He's one of us. Not one of the 12, but he knew the Lord. And, well, there are only 11 now after...
Oh, yes, Judas. Ah, that was a bad business.
Yes, so Peter thought we should, replace him.
Peter!
Cleopas, we missed you. I think we made a good choice, don't you, John?
I do. Matthias is a good man.
How did you choose him?
It was between Joseph and Matthias, so we drew straws.
Oh, you can tell Cleopas over supper. Mary's waiting for us.
Daniel! Daniel! Wake up!
Stop poking me!
Shh! You'll wake them all up.
Oh, it's you, Aaron. What's the matter?
Oh, yes, I remember. We're going to the festival. Shh, not so loud. Get your tunic on.
Can't we have breakfast first?
We'll get some later. Hurry up. Come on now.
Not so fast. I can't keep up with you.
Give me your hand.
Oh, what's that?
The temple trumpet. That means it's dawn. Oh, do come on. Can't you understand? I've been waiting for this since I was your age. To go up to the temple for the festival. My parents have been telling me about it all my life. And about how the chosen people got to the promised land and began to cultivate it and enjoy its fruits. And how Moses made a law that there should be a special offering of all the first fruits, the very best.
Why the best?
Because they're offered to God, of course.
Oh, and what do people bring?
Whatever they grow in their country. Grain, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, dates, olives.
Stop! You're making me hungry!
Shh! Listen. Here they come.
Baskets, freshly woven rush! Baskets, your first offering!
Festival baskets, roll up!
Stop pushing you.
Is this the way to the temple?
Can't you see where the crowd's going, Grandma?
Who needs a few extra fruits? You there! You can't go to the temple with that little bunch.
Grapes, pomegranates, minus the two of a sauce. Step right up, lady. Buy this wonderful...
First quality grain, barley fit for the King of Heaven.
What have you brought for the offering?
Just smell this bread.
We had a bad harvest this year. But just take a look at these olives. Did you ever see anything like them?
Look at them, Aaron. Where do you think they come from?
Bethlehem, I'd say.
Isn't it the town where that madman came from?
Who? That Jesus fellow.
He wasn't a madman.
Be quiet, stupid. They don't know.
Oh, Lord, let me get there in time. The upper room, they said. Hey, you boys, Daniel, Aaron, what are you doing here?
We're going up to the temple.
No, no, you're not. You're coming with me.
But Mark, the festival...
None of that matters. Come on. We've got to get you to the upper room.
Open up. It's me, Mark.
Aaron, there you are. We've been so worried. Mark, where did you find them? Come, we're all gathered.
And when the days of the Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues, as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak foreign languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were devout men living in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. And at this sound they all assembled, each bewildered to hear these men speaking his own language. They were amazed and astonished.
Surely all these men speaking are Galileans.
How is it that each of us hears them in his own language?
Yes, I can't understand it.
Why, we're Parthians, Medes, and Elamites. We're from near Cyrene.
We've come all the way from Rome.
Well, how is it we can hear them preaching about the mighty works of God in all our different languages? I don't understand it.
Yes, what does it mean, husband?
Oh, they've all had too much new wine, that's all.
They're drunk.
This early in the morning?
Well, it is festival time, you know.
Oh, look, it's that fisherman from Galilee.
What would a fisherman have to say to us?
People of Judea, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, make no mistake about this, but listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you imagine. No, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. In the days to come, it is the Lord who speaks. I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Their sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my slaves, men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will display portents in heaven above and signs on earth below. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great day of the Lord dawns. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Well, for a fisherman, he certainly knows his scriptures.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
People of Israel, listen to what I'm going to say. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God by the miracles and portents and signs that God worked through him when he was among you, as you all know.
That's true enough. I remember when he came to our town. Yes, and he cured that man, the man that was blind from birth.
This man, who was put into your power by the deliberate intention and foreknowledge of God, you took and had crucified by men outside the law. You killed him. Yes, you killed him. But God raised him to life. Jesus of Nazareth rose from the dead. And David the prophet foretold this. God raised this man Jesus to life. And all of us are witnesses to that.
And where is he now?
Can we see him?
But we crucified God's Holy One. How can we undo what?
Listen to Peter. Now he is raised to the heights by the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the Holy Spirit, who was promised. And what you see and hear is the outpouring of that Spirit. So let every member of the house of Israel know most surely that God made Jesus both Lord and Christ, this very same Jesus whom you crucified.
What must we do? This was the Messiah.
The one we were waiting for.
And we let them kill him.
The priests are responsible.
No, we're all responsible.
What can we do to put things right?
Peter, what are we to do? How can we atone for this tragedy?
It's not a tragedy. That's the whole point.
This is what you must do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise that was made is for you and your children.
So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls.
You were listening there to the first episode of our radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth. Taking part in this episode were Arthur Baum, Eleonora Baldwin, Thomas Bevan, Sylvia Favor, John Gayford, Maya Glickman, Don Hodson, Damien Lovett, John Murphy, Stephen Nailwick, Clive Rich, and Veronica Wells. And as I said earlier, the programme was written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett. Oh, and I was about to forget, the second episode of this radio drama will be broadcast at this same time next week. So if you did enjoy the first, be sure to listen then. Brings us up to time. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again at this same time tomorrow. Should you wish to check out our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.